Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome on in to today's Freight Waves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix, and it's Tuesday, so we get to link up with Mary O'Connell, the one and only host and writer of Chat Call here at Freight Waves. Mary, thank you for being here. This episode is a little bit of a crossover. We've got three very big Freight Waves personalities all coming together to talk about an important topic, the FTC non-compete rule.
Yes, this one of the many wild topics going around the internet. I could say that the FTC kind of went viral. I'm going to say that. They went viral. And so basically, we have Gray Sharkey and Thomas Wasson on to break down kind of what that ruling could look like in the future and what kind of role it plays in that and the freight brokerage. And, you know, having Grace and Thomas having spent some time in a freight brokerage, I figured they were probably the perfect people. And oh boy, do we all have some very strong opinions on the matter.
Yeah. So for those of you who have been living under a rock for really like the last year or so, the Federal Trade Commission last week issued a rule finally after about 9 months of debate, deliberation, and comments that officially or effectively outlaws non-compete restrictions for all workers in the United States if you are below an executive or senior level position. Of course, this rule was passed much to the hoopla of the freight industry in particular, but got slapped with a lawsuit nearly immediately. First, let's talk about the rule itself. Why is this so important for those of us in the space, especially in the brokerage space? We know that companies like Steam Logistics have put together their coalition to end non-competes. I think I'm saying that right, their whole entire spiel. But why is this so practical for the freight industry?
So I don't want to say unique, but first of all, after reading some of those comments, I did not know how many industries were plagued by non-competes. Like, we're talking everywhere from law to medical to everything. And so that's when I was like, whoa, okay, we actually, like, this is a good thing. But basically, as it applies to the freight broker world, you know, there's not really a secret sauce to necessarily moving freight from, basically everyone is moving it from point A to point B with a carrier on a truck. So it's just, there's not really like a secret sauce to like how you can move more. I mean, obviously, yes, there is some data and some technology that gives you a competitive edge. But at the end of the day, we're still all moving freight and trucks are still moving from point A to point B. It's just kind of how you get it there. But it's really interesting because the non-competes typically, like we mentioned, it's not there is a ban, but anyone that's a senior like executive or higher is not, you know, their non-compete is not lifted, but it more so affects your entry level and kind of your on the front lines workers, because those are the people that are, you know, moving freight and they are the ones, you know, getting training on the industry. So a lot of times someone will go work at a larger brokerage, get that training, and then, you know, want to leave and go start their own because maybe they have a different way of doing things, or maybe they just have a different way of doing things and what they perceive is better. So it's one of those where it's, if you're trapped in a non-compete, you're potentially trapped in an environment that you don't feel like you work your best in. You're trapped working for someone or something that you don't, you know, you don't have similar values to. And it really just unfortunately traps people in a potentially lower paying job, a toxic work environment, and basically somewhere where they don't want to go to work anymore. And so the only way to get out of that is to leave the industry entirely. So we're losing talented workforce that everybody is, you know, saying, oh, it's hard to find talented and qualified workers. Well, and they're there. It's just some people have straight up said, oh, if you're coming from this company, I can't hire you. You may be the most perfectly qualified person, but I can't because I don't have the money to fight your non-compete. So it's one of those where it's kind of stagnating the industry, in my opinion, as a whole. Because in theory, you know, we've talked about how freight brokers are very athletic and everything like that. Well, you want to compete against the best. You don't want to compete against the best with one arm tied behind his back because they're trapped in a non-compete. You want to compete against the best of the best and really say that, no, I am the best freight broker out there.
I think that's a really good way of looking at it, is that non-competes don't mean that you are necessarily doing the best in your space. It just means that people around you are limited. One of the things that's been most fascinating about this conversation is because there is not a federal rule on this or a federal, I guess, kind of precedent set, a lot of non-compete litigation is left up on a state-by-state basis. So like in Tennessee, Tennessee is considered a right-to-work state, which means that you or your employer can terminate your terms of employment at any point in time. That effectively makes non-competes null and void. What it doesn't do is it doesn't protect you from an employer suing you for the non-compete and taking you to court. And that's where it gets a little sticky, especially for those entry-level employees. If you come into the space, you know, as a freight broker, let's say you're salaried at $30,000 a year with your commission, maybe you netted 56 in this tough freight environment, right? You can't afford to go to court and to fight that non-compete. Therefore, you are stuck, again, as you mentioned, in that kind of toxic work environment. With the FTC ruling, that would establish a federal precedent. Now it goes to court. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has put in a lawsuit against it, fighting, I'm sure, for all of their big-time companies, all of their big-time lobby groups, whatever they may be. We're not going to name names on this one. But what are the next steps for this? It goes into federal court. Does it go to appeals court? Does the Supreme Court potentially have a voice in this argument now?
I would be shocked, like jaw hit the ground shocked, if it does not end up at the Supreme Court, because I see it. So it's filed in the Fifth Circuit Court in Texas, which there have been quite a lot of interesting lawsuits filed there that have naturally gone on to the Supreme Court. So it's one of those where I would be shocked if it doesn't, just because it does affect what the FTC said. It's like 101 million Americans or something like that, that potentially are under a non-compete. And that's, you know, kind of their best guess. That's not necessarily a reported number. So it could potentially be even more. And it's something like millions of dollars could be added back into the economy if the ban goes through. But I would see it. I see it going all the way to the Supreme Court. Like I said, I would be shocked if it doesn't get heard or anything like that. But my favorite part of the ruling, of them coming out and saying it, is the spokesperson for the FTC, Douglas Farrar, said that they look forward to winning in court. Like, they have already come out guns blazing saying, nah, man, we're going to win. And I am very hopeful for that. I know it's going to be a long road. I know there's going to be lots of appeals, a lot of processes, and it'll probably be a year before we see any real traction on it. But I'm very excited for that, and like the hope that it gives back to, you know, the workers trapped in these non-competes.
If you are a broker, this does not mean go quit your job. Like, don't do it. I've already seen people on LinkedIn saying, hey, non-competes don't exist anymore. I'm open to work. I'm looking for a new gig. No, don't do that. Go listen to Matt Loeffler, the armchair attorney. Take some time and think strategically before you decide to cut those ties, because your non-compete is unfortunately still valid right now.
And if it does go to the Supreme Court and a ruling comes and, you know, it rules in favor of this ruling, or if they change anything about it, there's still 120 days after the ruling goes into the Federal Register that you have, that you're still in that non-compete. So unfortunately, it's going to be a minute, but I like to think of it as a giant leap in the right direction.
Or, you know what, maybe do quit your job, because oftentimes those non-competes are set on like a time basis, right? Like, it's like one year from the date of the end of your employment. By the time the rule goes into effect, hey, maybe you'll be out of your non-compete anyways and you don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. I mean, what you're going to do in the year in between, that's a great question. You know, I look forward to seeing what your answer is. But I cannot wait. But also, Matthew Loeffler has been obviously leading the charge on this, and I cannot recommend following him and his content enough, because he has been in the trenches and definitely taking the legal side of things and making it more understandable for those of us who don't have a cool law degree.
Absolutely. So subtle plug for him. Go check him out on LinkedIn. Matt Loeffler, the armchair attorney as well. Mary, plug for your show. Of course, you mentioned Thomas and Grace are on. When can we find them today?
So if you just keep watching Freight Waves on YouTube right here, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. It's going to be a slightly longer than normal, maybe, but I promise it is a fun episode, and it is full of Grace, Thomas, and Mary spicy hot takes, and it's a great show. It comes out at 12:30 Eastern today, and then the newsletter comes out at 2 o'clock today as well.
All right, Mary, thanks for that, and we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.